Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
If you're a parent, you know that frustrations can build when your child misbehaves or doesn't do what you're expecting them to do. But according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, the use of spanking as a disciplinary tool increases aggression in young children in the long run and is ineffective in teaching a child responsibility and self-control, especially when they see the parents lose control and use physical violence as a form of discipline. My guest today to tell us about this and give us some more positive techniques for disciplining our children is Dr. Jennifer Hsu. She's a practicing pediatrician and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Hsu, tell us a little bit first about the ramifications and the impact that spanking as a form of punishment can have on a child. We've been hearing about it for years. People have spanked their child for 1,000 years, but we know now. We know better now, don't we?
We sure do. And what current research shows is that not only is spanking inappropriate, it's also not effective. And parents may see some very short-term effects that they want to see. But in the long run, spanking can cause problems, mental health problems in kids, or cause the kids to become even more aggressive.
Wow. And do you feel, or as you see as a pediatrician and working with the AAP, do you see fewer parents spanking? Or, I mean, is it kind of ebbs and flows sort of thing?
You know, in general, I definitely see fewer and fewer people spanking. In my office, maybe 10, 20 years ago, you might hear of a parent or grandparent threatening to spank their child while they're in my office if they're misbehaving. I don't hear that ever anymore.
Well, that's good news, Dr. Hsu. But now, something along the lines of spanking, which has always even given me wiggles to think about parents doing, and I know some parents don't even realize, but sometimes, Dr. Hsu, words have more of an impact, negatively or positively, than physical violence. What about when a parent says, oh, you just can't do anything right? I mean, I can barely even say it, because for me, some reason, those words mean a lot more.
So even harsh words can cause long-lasting effects. So when we're talking about corporal punishment, basically it is physical punishment such as spanking, but you can include verbal abuse as well when you think about the long-term adverse effects they can have on kids.
Well, and even teenagers, Dr. Hsu, when you hear parents, you know, the teenage brain, we know so much about it now and it's all messed up, but when you hear parents screaming at their teenagers, that can even have an effect as well, because teenagers' self-esteem is usually through the floor anyway.
I mean, of course, Melanie, and definitely kids who are school age and older, especially teens, as a parent, as an adult, we wouldn't want to be treated by being spanked or being verbally abused. So why would we treat our children that way?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly, I'm very passionate about this, and I know that you are too. So let's help parents right off the bat. Give us some healthy discipline strategies that work, because we talked about, you know, timeouts. And I tried, Dr. Hsu, I tried. They don't sit there very long and they don't always sit there. And then what do? You hold them in place. Timeouts don't always work, but give us some techniques that you know that do work for us.
I think the important thing, Melanie, is to take a step back and really set the stage and set the tone for your children before you even get to discipline such as timeouts. So the first thing parents can do is to model good behavior. Show your children what it's like to be calm and to be respectful of other people. And also kind of let them know what behavior is expected of them. You know, when we go to this restaurant, I expect that you are going to sit quietly until we're done with the meal, so that it's perfectly clear what the expectations are. Because if the kid doesn't know what behavior is expected, I think it's hard for them to kind of follow your rules. And then if you implement something such as a timeout, really those are best targeted towards kids between ages 2 and 5 or so, and it's just a minute for each year of age. So a 2-year-old might get a 2-minute timeout. And basically what you're doing is giving them a cool down period where they can take a break, regroup, think about what behavior they're doing wrong, and then kind of improve on that.
I'll tell you, when I went to my pediatrician with issues with my daughter, when she was around those ages, she said, I know you're not going to think of this as something you want to do, but hug her. Tell her how much you love her. Hug her. It may be the last thing you feel like doing when she's misbehaving, but it can work. And what do you think about that?
I think that's fantastic. Anytime a parent can be positive, it can help, you know, redirect the child. It can reinforce good behavior. If you catch your child being good, praise them, hug them. Say things like, I love how you're treating your sister right now, or I love how you're using a calm voice when you're asking for what you want. I think hugs go with that.
Now, what about ignoring? Sometimes that's another thing for tantrum throwing children, ignoring them. Give us lots of tips, Dr. Hsu.
So ignoring is actually a very powerful tool. Some people, parents might think of it as not actually doing anything, but ignoring is an action of itself. And so if a child is being a little bit silly, but not hurting themselves or not hurting anybody else, ignoring that behavior may simply cause your child to lose interest and move on. So ignoring can be a very powerful tool. I think one thing is that, if a child is having a tantrum or using a whining voice, you can say, I can't understand you in that voice, and ignore them until they're able to talk calmly. So wait until they're able to be calm and just more mature about how they're acting. We really encourage things like natural or logical consequences, such as if you throw your snack, that's going in the trash and you're not going to have any snack anymore. So the natural consequence is you throw your snack, you don't have it anymore. Same thing as if you have asked your child to clean up their toys and they don't do it, well, then remove the toys for the rest of the day and they don't get them back. So think about what consequences make sense for the behavior that you're trying to eliminate.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydralyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a premixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. How important is modeling and role model if you try and have a very calm house? Does it necessarily follow you're going to have calm children if you keep music around and you have patchouli in the air and a nice calm house? Or, I mean, kids will do what kids will do. How do you role model what you want your kids to do?
So keeping yourself calm, trying to keep your own blood pressure down using a calm voice, slower talking can help model good behavior for your child. And on the flip side, if you're angry or raise your voice, or you spank, that does create a vicious cycle of your child then becoming more aggressive or trying to hit and then you responding in the same way. So we want the vicious cycle to be a calming vicious cycle where your child follows your calm and mature lead.
And I think it's an issue also in how we put words, Dr. Hsu, if we're saying, I don't want you to do that. Instead, we should be positive words. I would like for you to do this, right? And that's not always easy to think about at the time.
Melanie, I think that's a great example. A lot of times kids focus on the last word they hear. So if they hear no hitting, no running, all they hear is running. So maybe rephrase that and say, walk, please, or use gentle or soft touches. so that you turn it into a positive, just like you mentioned. I think that's great advice.
And now as children grow, so we've got our little toddlers and they're a little bit more moldable sometimes and we can try all of those things. But as they get into school, they start seeing other kids do some of these behaviors. How can we counteract that and discipline our children when they maybe see other kids doing this particular thing?
Yes, Melanie, definitely there's peer pressure going around and kids learning from other kids. And I think you can use negative behavior as a learning opportunity, a teaching opportunity for your children. So if your child says that so-and-so got in trouble because they, you know, misbehaved at the lunch table, they had to go to the principal's office, you can ask or you can talk to your child about, well, how could that person have done things differently or how do you do things differently, and praise your child for the good choices that they do make.
It's really important. And tell us more as our kids are growing. What you tell people and when you're lecturing about this and the AAP's policy now on spanking and verbal abuse, what do you want listeners to know about ways that we can change our own habits and thereby guide and mold our children and discipline them when necessary, but without the use of that violence?
Well, what our ultimate goal is to teach our kids to be able to self-regulate their behavior and their responses to things in their environment. So if we do all the discipline for them, they're never going to figure out how to deal with challenges in their life. So for kids, like teenagers, I think they can be actively involved in the process. If they have a temper tantrum, they get angry. Once they cool down, talk to them about how they can deal with that better in the future. So some kids may come up with ideas such as, I will go to my room and listen to music, or I will do some drawing, or I'll read a book, or I'll call a friend, or something like that. So I think if we can arm them with some positive tools, this will help them out in the long run once they become adults.
I think it's so important. And do you have any final thoughts for us, Dr. Chu, about what you want parents to know about discipline, loving, and even now at the holidays where some parents are saying, oh, well, Santa isn't going to come if you're not a good boy or girl. And I must admit, I used that a couple times, you know, because you feel like it works. But again, that's sort of a threat, but sometimes that one works. Finish your thoughts for us and tell the listeners what you want them to know.
So I think when we talk about natural and logical consequences, Santa coming every Christmas, for example, probably reflects the child's behavior over the course of the year. And what we're trying to do is to really address behavior, any bad behavior, right when it happens. So it might be more appropriate to say, you know, if you get ready for bed quickly, we can read 5 books. But if you don't, it's only going to be 2 or 3. And that way they get some kind of immediate feedback for their behavior. I think it's important for parents to know that as we have more and more research, we do know that spanking is harmful. And whereas parents might say, you know, I was spanked as a child and I turned out fine, I think that's fantastic. But with what we do know, spanking definitely is not recommended and it's not appropriate or effective. And so we do encourage all parents to stop or not even think about spanking at this point.
I agree completely. And so does the American Academy of Pediatrics. And listeners, share this show with your friends. If you do have friends that you've seen that spank their child or use harsh verbal words when disciplining, talk to them about it or just share this show, because Dr. Jennifer Chu is an expert in this area. And of course, all of our experts on this show are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole, and I hope you will have the courage to share this show. This is a passionate, controversial topic, but it shouldn't be, because we love our children and it's really all about their safety and their good mental health. And that's what we were discussing. So thanks so much for listening. Take care and stay well.